Cowboy fans, welcome back to the podcast. Less than 3 weeks away until we kick off the 2012 season. Until then, Pistols Guy will be writing and bringing you OSU news while Nolo and I are keeping the podcast coming. Nolo's in Spain. He's going to be checking out the basketball team while he's over there, so I have a new guest with me tonight. He's a proud owner of a Bob Kierlin autograph and a 1946 Sugar Bowl program, a game in which our Pokes, actually I'll say the Aggies, beat St. Mary's. So those credentials were good enough for me, so I brought on a guy who I only know in the Twitter world. He is at Poklahoma, better known as Michael. Mike, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. Doing great. Just enjoying the evening. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, man. You ready to talk some Cowboy sports?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll get to football in a bit. But first, I was very, very skeptical with the hire of Josh Holliday. And just at first, because I was sold on Rob Walton's head coaching experience, but then I watched Holliday's press conference and pulled a 180 immediately. And I'm glad I jumped on the bandwagon quickly because he's already proven to be the right guy with the hiring of an excellent staff and picking up quality recruits from the get-go. But Coach Holliday called you right after he was hired, right?
He did, absolutely. He woke me up. I was still sleeping. My phone went off at about 8:30 in the morning one day.
How did that come about? What did you two talk about?
Well, you know, it comes about the same way a lot of those things come about for me. I was drinking a little bit and watching his press conference, and I absolutely loved it. And I had, I went to the website to look at fundraising information. Well, I don't have any money, but, you know, I figure at the very least I can talk to people about it. And, you know, I pulled up to the website, and Frank Anderson was all over the place. And, you know, good luck to him at the University of Houston, but if we're going to let the guy go and say we're serious about baseball, then he shouldn't be on the website. I sent Mike Holder an email, and he's always been great to, you know, respond to me. I don't bother him too often, but he always responds. And I went on the website, and I wanted fundraising information, and I didn't think it was good enough for a school because it's about baseball. It's the old coach all over the place. I sent Holder the email explaining about it, and I guess he forwarded it on to Holliday. And the next day, about 8 in the morning, Coach Holliday called. And I was still half asleep. He was 2 minutes into his conversation before I finally had to stop him. It was kind of embarrassing. I had to, you know, is this really Josh Holliday?
Sounded like a prank call.
Yeah, it did. I figured it was a prank call. I figured I'd mentioned something on Twitter. And, you know, I have a couple friends who follow me on Twitter, and so I thought the phone call was them pranking me. Finally, I asked him if it was really Coach Holliday. He's so passionate about what he talks about that he was almost insulted that I asked. He said, well, yeah, of course it's Josh. Okay, Coach, carry on. Pardon me. And we talked for 5 or 10 minutes about the different ways that you can support OSU baseball outside of donating money. You know, following the players on Twitter, you know, keeping up with recruiting, all kinds of things that matter to him as much as money does.
That's cool, man. I mean, we got a coach that's, I mean, he knows the Cowboy fans, apparently, and he's connected with them, and he's got everybody's support. So props to Holder on the hire. And I agree. Anytime I've emailed Holder, which isn't often, I get a response,
yep.
Whether it's what I want to hear or not. I get a response no matter what the topic is. So props to him for that. I don't think he's the greatest AD in the world, but I really do think that I doubt many ADs actually answer every email. Now maybe sometimes it's his assistant doing it. I don't know, but either way, I'm impressed, but I'm impressed with Holliday. I'm a baseball guy. And being a baseball guy, I'm fired up because I grew up going to Bedlam games at Driller Stadium in Tulsa, just packing out, and it mattered. You know, it really did matter. Now it's just kind of like, yeah, you know, Bedlam always matters, but gosh, I've been recently, and it just does not have that same intensity to it.
Oh, I agree.
We'll get there. It'll get back. Because yep. OU's been pretty good, and once we get, you know, both teams are competing for College World Series spots again, it's going to heat up. So, well, let's jump to football. I want to talk about our Big 12 newcomers, and let's start with TCU. All right, so you're not playing New Mexico, Colorado State, and Wyoming every year now. How are they going to adjust to Big 12 schedule every year?
I actually really fine. I found a cool stat from 2005 to 2010. They've gone 12-2 against TCU teams. And you got to remember, they won the Rose Bowl against Wisconsin just a couple of years ago. The recent drug losses and the depth issues are going to cause them more of a problem than Jewel will. I think they'll probably struggle this year, but overall, long term, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, and that's more of what I'm asking is really the long term. How will they fit? And I agree. I think they'll be a successful football program, and maybe have an occasional BCS type season like OSU did last year. And I think they're going to have a year where they find people eligible. But Gary Patterson has managed to put a competitive team on the field, and along with improved facilities, as they're proving that they're all in. With the move, they'll see a major boost in recruiting in the next 4 or 5 years. So they'll be a middle-tier Big 12 team most seasons, compete for some titles here and there, and have seasons where they're flirting with that 6-win bowl-eligible mark. So I definitely agree with you on TCU. Other sports, I haven't done my research on TCU. It looks like they've got a decent baseball program, basketball. Don't think they're bringing any strength to the conference. But we're not concerned about that.
Yeah, no, they're in trouble in basketball, and I was in Fort Worth. I was in Fort Worth last week, and I saw the upgraded football stadium. It's beautiful. And in the spring, I went to the baseball stadium because we were down here playing baseball. And they'll be fine in baseball. That's a beautiful place. They'll be able to recruit. I think they'll have no problem recruiting, especially being in Dallas, Fort Worth.
Yeah, they can. They'll recruit so much better than they were in the Mountain West because they're going to be playing all around Texas. I mean, they've got Baylor, Tech, and Texas, and I'm sure they'll have games against an SMU, just like they are this year. So their recruiting is going to skyrocket. And I agree with you. Their first year, maybe two, it's going to be an adjustment because you're not playing those cupcake teams on your conference schedule anymore. Yeah, you're going to have some cupcakes in the Big 12, but not on a regular basis. And any road game is going to be a lot more of a challenge than what they were seeing. So I agree with you on TCU. Now, West Virginia, do they deserve all the preseason respect they're getting, or are they hyped up because of that blowout win against Clemson in the Orange Bowl last year?
They're hyped up because of that blowout win over Clemson beyond belief. If you look at last year's schedule and the results, they're 13 points away from 6 wins.
I can't believe I'm actually shocked. I'm the only one I know who's been saying the exact same thing. We've got a win against USF by 3, Pitt by 1, Cincinnati by 3, lost to Louisville at home by 3, a bad Rutgers team they beat by 10, got rolled at Syracuse, and beat a bad, bad Maryland team by 6, and got, I'm not going to hold the LSU game against them.
No, I think it's actually to their credit that they scored that many points on that defense, but that seems like an aberration to me.
I could not agree with you more on West Virginia, and I think that they're going to be good, but when I look at this schedule, and I'm just thinking, if they played like this against a Big 12 schedule, they're going to lose another 2 or 3 games. I don't have them in my – go ahead.
I'm sorry. I went over wins and losses, and I think I had maximum if they went all their toss-ups at 9 games. I don't think there's any way they win 10 this year.
I didn't have them at 10. I went through the whole. I went through all the schedules. I talked with Pistols guy about this last year. I went through all the schedules and picked everybody's record, and I came up at, tentatively right now. I have them at 4th, at 6-3 in conference. And that's giving them the OU game. I think they're going to beat OU, but I have them losing to Kansas State at home right now and then losing on the road to LSU and even Texas. I don't know if that's how I'm going to finish up, but that's good enough for 4th the way I have them. And 6-3, plus their non-conference games are going to be, I believe those are going to be wins. They were Maryland, James Madison, and Marshall. So I'm with you. I have them at 9. So it could be 10.
8 or 9 wins the most.
I agree.
I don't think there's any way they get to 10.
Yeah. I mean, if they're that great, then okay. But I'm with you. I look at that, and maybe it's not always fair to look at a previous season's record and their scores, but yeah, from looking at that, it's just it's not impressive. There's one impressive game on there, and that's the Clemson game. And that's what everybody's talking about. They're only talking about that huge win against Clemson in the Orange Bowl. It's like, well, what about the 12 other games that this same team played?
Right.
So I'm with you. But overall, again, I think that they're still going to be a good team. I think they're going to be competitive in the Big 12, especially once Dana gets his feet wet as a head coach. Well, who knows? I mean, we already know he's going to have an offense. Can you pull Mike Gundy and have somebody develop a defense?
They've got almost all their coaching staff has familiarity with the Big 12. So, I mean, they know what they're getting into, but just from looking at it, their offensive line was a problem last year, and they're placing two new starters. And in the passing league, they've got two new defensive coming in. I'm not thrilled. They're replacing both defensive ends from last year. Questions at offensive line and shaky defense. I'm not convinced.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think right now, preseason, they're underdogs in three conference games, at Texas, at OSU, and OU at home. So
I say that's probably pretty accurate. Yeah.
That's fair, and I'm not sold on Texas by any means. That's going to be that to me is the hardest game to pick, because do I go with a high-powered offense against a bad defense against a team with a terrible offense and a great defense? That's a tough one, but I just went with the home team, even though Texas has been anything but invincible on their home field the past two seasons or so. But with all that said about West Virginia, I am pumped to have them in the conference, and I cannot wait to visit Morgantown next year, which brings me to my next question. Looking at this year's schedule, which away games are worth a weekend trip? With your buddies packing in the car to go catch a road game.
It's a pretty weak road trip schedule. Don't go to Waco. But if I had to pick all of the road trips, I'd probably say I'd want to go to Kansas, because I'd love to see, you know, Allen Fieldhouse. And I hear Lawrence has a nice nightlife.
I've been to Kansas for football. And if you want, I kind of broke it down. Best away football environment you're going to get is Kansas State. The best non-football trip would be Arizona. I like to play golf, and so it'd be, you know, an opportunity to get down there and play some desert courses. And it's somewhere you're not gonna go. I mean, it would be nicer if Arizona was a program worth saying, yeah, I went to a game in Arizona. But it's something new. My choice, actually, this year is where you said not to go, and I've been there. But I think that I'm going to be traveling down to Waco, and not because I'm excited about the town. I've been there. It's in the stadium. It's oh man. But I want to be rocking my orange in that stadium when we bury them in their bowl hopes and put them at 5-7. Oh, nothing will feel better than that.
I think that's probably pretty accurate that they'll be fighting for bowl eligibility going into that last game.
Yeah, cracks me up if they think that, oh yeah, we're gonna reload. I'm sorry, you just won the Alamo Bowl. I don't think you win the Alamo Bowl and reload. You know, I mean, you lost your Heisman, you lost your star quarterback, your star wide receiver, and your good running back. And you have no defense.
Right.
Baffles me.
No, I agree completely. I've seen plenty of games down there. And I don't know. I might go, because it's a short trip for me.
I'm in Oklahoma City, and another reason I'm choosing it is got another trip planned in the fall with my wife, and that would be a quick trip that really wouldn't cost much. On your Kansas deal, Lawrence is it's a cool little town. I definitely like that town. I went last year, and the night we went up Friday, and that was the night of their first basketball game. You would have had no idea that there was a football game the next day. That not a, I mean, they played a no name North Texas or Texas State maybe. So we were out in Lawrence that night, and like their band from their basketball team travels around to the bars and plays their fight song. But they're all, you know, excited because they won a basketball game. could have cared less that they had a football game tomorrow, the next day. They knew they were going to get just slaughtered. So it is cool. I wouldn't tell you not to go. I would tell you to make sure you definitely go when you can catch a basketball game. I went when we got beat by 30 in Allen Fieldhouse.
Could have been any number of years.
Yeah, it was. I think it might have been Sean's first year whenever we were actually at the time a top 10 team somehow. Adarius Bowman was playing. I remember he airballed a three.
I remember. That's a whole nother podcast worth of.
Oh, yes. But it was incredible. Like, even though we're getting beat by 30, it was cool because they honored Eddie. Eddie was there. When he walked out to his seat, their entire crowd, like, erupted and cheered for him. I was like, what? I didn't realize they had this much respect for him. And they honored him at halftime, and I was just kind of like, I had no idea they were doing it. And I was like, well, this made it worth it, getting beat by 30 or not. Definitely check out Allen Fieldhouse. I'm sure walking through it outside of basketball season would still be pretty cool. But I tell you, man, I went to Gallagher in its glory days. It did not match the environment in Allen Fieldhouse. I would say it got louder at its loudest times. But as far as consistent, you know, noise and environment and fans, yeah, it's unbeatable.
Well, I wish I would have been there to hear it.
You will, man. We'll be back. Even if we're not good, go up there. You'll still enjoy it. That way you'll expect to get beat. What I want to do before we end this is run through our schedule, and you just give me a quick win or loss. Let's see where you've got us headed this year. All right, Savannah State.
Win.
At Arizona.
Win.
Louisiana.
Win.
Texas.
Win.
Kansas.
Win.
Iowa State.
Win.
TCU.
Win.
At Kansas State.
Loss.
West Virginia.
Loss.
Texas Tech.
Win.
At OU.
Loss.
And at Baylor.
Win.
Very fair. 9-3. That's,
West Virginia's a toss-up. That's the one that makes it 10-2.
Right. Well, it's like you can look at a collective schedule and you can say, yeah, I think we'll go 9-3. I think we'll lose at OU, and then we'll lose at Kansas State, then we'll lose one of at Texas, TCU, or we'll lose one of Texas, TCU, and West Virginia. But it's hard when you actually have to run down and pick every individual game, because it's easy to say win and we're at 10-2. But I'm the same. I've got
this is the most balanced the league has been in years.
Yeah, it's definitely the schedule plays in our favor, except I said it over and over. Kansas State is, in my opinion, vastly underrated this year. Okay. Their over under was at 7 wins. Can't see them winning. I saw it at 7 initially, and I was like, I can't see them. I couldn't see him winning just 6, so I would have had him through. I just threw $20 on it just for the heck of it.
Absolutely.
9-3 is fair and very, very realistic, which sounds crazy when you lose some of your star players in what's supposed to be a rebuilding year, and you can actually look at the schedule and say, 9-3, that can happen. Could send us to the Alamo.
I'm so down from that, I can't.
No, I think right now I've got us at 10-2. And
right.
I'm trying, like, is that just my homerism bump,
right,
giving an extra win? And at that 10-2, the way I have it right now, we'd actually be a three-way tie for first with OU and Kansas State, and we'd lose out on that and go to the Alamo Bowl. But still, a 10-2 regular season in the Alamo Bowl, let's not turn into OU fans and start calling for Mike Gundy's job.
No. Mike Gundy will be here as long as he wants to be here.
Agreed. Well, everybody, Michael tweets all things OSU, so if you're not following him, give @Poklahoma a follow on Twitter. Michael, really appreciate you coming on, man.
This is a lot of fun. I've been looking forward to it all week.
Appreciate y'all listening all the way through. Less than 3 weeks away. Until then, keep yourself busy on Pistols Firing Blogs. And we'll be back soon talking everything OSU.